Well, the big day had finally come for the people of Nazareth. Their native son, Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, he's hit it big. Now, Nathaniel may wonder what good can come from Nazareth, but now this young carpenter has become such a popular rabbi. You can only imagine what some of these people gathered here in the synagogue are thinking. I knew him before he was famous. He was baptized by John himself not long ago, and now he's been taking Galilee by storm. He's been teaching in all the synagogues. We even hear he's been doing miracles and healing people. Maybe what he did at Capernaum can happen here too. Maybe if that's what he did at Capernaum, just imagine what he'll do here at home. I imagine that's what the people of Nazareth were thinking when they gathered to the synagogue that day to hear Jesus. They were waiting with bated breath, with barely contained excitement and anticipation. After he reads from Isaiah, he pauses and prepares to start preaching. And the gospel says, the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. The kid who had grown up there in the church has graduated from seminary, and he's coming back to preach at his home church for the first time. The word around town is he is doing great. Considering what a big deal it was in Israel at that day to be a popular rabbi, maybe it's a better comparison to say it's, you know, like someone who hit it big in Hollywood or the music industry. Everyone can say, I knew him before he was famous. But there's a new theme here in this passage that we haven't seen yet during our Epiphany readings. Magi worship him. People at his baptism marvel at the things they see and hear. At the wedding feast in Cana, they rejoice at the fine wine that he provides them. So far, everyone has been joyful, or at least in awe, of these revelations to them of the presence of God in their midst. But this time, the people of Nazareth are not overjoyed. By the end of the story, they're trying to throw him off a cliff and kill him. What went wrong? How did the people of Nazareth go from eager and excited to murderous so quickly? Well, I have to say, I hope I never preach a sermon that gets that kind of reaction. But part of their reaction against him is because he told them why he had come, what his mission was all about. That didn't line up with what the people of Nazareth were expecting to hear. Well, what were they expecting? It's a good question. They praised his preaching, they spoke well of him, and marveled at his words, it says. But it sounds like they didn't just want a dynamite sermon from the new rabbi. They wanted some miracles, some healings like at Capernaum. Maybe they were even thinking, hey, if he can do things like that for all those people down there, just imagine what he might do for us at home. I mean, you always expect someone famous like that to do a little something for the place they came from. Support a new wing at a school, pay for some sports equipment, endow something or other. Support the people who supported you before you were famous. They say, or Jesus says to them, I'm sure you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. In other words, heal your own. Heal those who belong to you. Where's your hometown loyalty? Start doing these wonderful works here with your own family and friends. Sure, helping strangers over there in Capernaum is well and good, but we are your people here. The envy is a powerful and a dangerous thing. There's a very good reason that God forbids coveting in the Ten Commandments. And they heard what Jesus was saying, but they weren't really listening to him. They didn't hear what they were expecting or hoping to hear. In other words, they didn't hear the word of God. Well, let's look at this word. Jesus reads them a passage from Isaiah, a prophecy about the Messiah. And then he tells the people that they are seeing this take place before their eyes. Jesus is the one who is anointed by the Spirit of the Lord, as the Holy Spirit came down and remained on him at his baptism. And he tells them about his purpose and his mission, to proclaim good news, to proclaim liberty and healing, to proclaim the Lord's favor. Now, the epiphany here is the revelation about the nature of the Lord's grace and favor, and that it is for all people. In fact, it's not looking too good for the people of Nazareth based on their reception of Jesus. Sounds like they wanted special treatment from him because of their previous connection to him. They're surprised at Jesus' words about proclaiming good news, and it doesn't seem like they quite know what to think yet. More bewildered than angry. But then he rebukes them for being more concerned about seeing some miracles, about getting a good show and some personal benefits for themselves. He even compares them to two particular Gentiles, and not very favorably. During the time of Elijah, why did God send Elijah to a Gentile widow and to help her instead of many in Israel? During the time of Elisha, why did God heal the leper Naaman, a Syrian, not a Jew? They say to him, "Great preaching, Jesus, but let's see some miracles now." And he replies, in essence, "Well, if that's your attitude, it'd be better if I went out and healed pagans like Naaman." It's the divine vending machine approach to God's grace again. But what's in it for me kind of faith. Envy of what he was doing for the quote-unquote wrong people. Now, in the cases of both Elijah and Elisha, the reason those prophets did these miracles for Gentiles was that the people of Israel at the time had rejected God and his prophets. The time of Elijah was also the time of Queen Jezebel, if you remember what kind of a character she was and how enthusiastic she was about worshiping Baal, persecuting those who worshiped God. Now, the people of Israel had rejected God, so God sent these prophets to bless Gentiles instead. And as soon as Jesus finishes teaching about this rejection and saying it will happen to him as well, what do the people of Nazareth do? They prove his point. They immediately reject him and try to kill him. What a great way to prove him wrong, right? What part of this got them so mad that they wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff? It's not just that Jesus wasn't giving them the miracles they wanted, and they criticized him instead, but there is also this claim that he made. You see, I think they understood exactly what it was that he was claiming, that he was the Messiah. Now, if you think about it, if they took seriously that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, but they didn't believe that the claim was true, then really they were doing the right thing. What do you do under the Old Testament law to somebody who claims to be God or claims to be a prophet but isn't? Well, you're supposed to kill them. They knew what Jesus was claiming to be, but they didn't believe that it was actually true. So in a way, they were going to do the pious Jewish thing and throw him off a cliff. The difference, of course, is that Jesus was not a false prophet. He could, and he certainly did, back up his words with actions on many occasions. The people of Nazareth were looking for great and miraculous things from Jesus, but because they rejected him, his teaching, and his identity as the Messiah, the only thing that he did for them was avoid getting killed. Now, all it says is that he passed through the midst of the crowd when they tried to throw him down. I suppose it wouldn't necessarily have been miraculous, but for one man to pass unopposed through the middle of a murderous mob is still pretty amazing. So their spiritual deafness, rejecting Jesus' identity, led to spiritual blindness, not seeing the miracles that they had been counting on and waiting for. Now, it's probably easy for us to sit back at this distance and point at the people of Nazareth and say, "Wow, they sure didn't get it. How could they reject Jesus when he stood and talked to them face to face like that?" But I have to wonder, would I feel like I deserved special treatment from Jesus just because I came from the same town, because I knew his parents, because I knew him before he was famous? Do I feel like I deserve special treatment now, because I'm part of God's family? Or that it's unjust when a faithful person suffers? Maybe it is hard to feel like people outside the church are getting all kinds of great things in this world, while the people you know and love are suffering in all kinds of ways. I show up to church regularly. I help people out when I can. I'm a good Christian, right? I was born into a Christian family. So why is God blessing all those other people and doing nothing here? Not only other Christians and not me, but even unbelievers. They're not even good people. That's a mindset that is very dangerous to us spiritually. Be careful of envy of God's blessings. Like the people of Nazareth, we always need to be pointed back to God's word. We always need to be reminded that God's blessing has already come to us in many ways, but especially that God's blessing comes not in wonderful things for this life, but as a promise for the life to come, secured by Christ on the cross. He came to proclaim good news to all people, news of freedom from sin, news of God's mercy. Everything else was secondary. The people of Nazareth heard this news, but they didn't care. They were too busy looking out for the wrong things. Many people all around us today will also hear this news and don't care. They too are too busy looking out for the wrong things in this life. So Jesus points us toward the right things. Just as he tried to do with the people of his own hometown, he proclaimed to them the news that the long-awaited Savior had finally come, that it was him, and that he brought freedom, hope, and comfort. And he offers that to us as well. This scripture has again been fulfilled in your hearing. He continues to bring good news to the poor in spirit, to whom he promised comfort. He continues to bring sight to the spiritually blind, shining his light in the darkness of our lives. He continues to come to all held captive by sin and guilt and doubt, and sets them free. In this Epiphany season, just as he revealed himself in his preaching to the people of Nazareth, he continues to come to us and to reveal himself to us. The light shining in the darkness. The mercy and the grace of God for you. May we respond in faith and trust in all that he says to us. Amen.